Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
You're listening to Season 2 of Got 'Em, Coach. The show that doesn't believe in boasting and bragging, so we won't mention the 4,000-plus downloads and the fan base that stretches over 50 cities and 30 countries around the world.
Because that would be doing too much.
Now, here's your host, the mayor of the Four Point Island, Tyrone Smith.
Back in the building, man. You already know what time it is. Episode number 7 of Got 'Em, Coach. We still in that season 2 grind. Hey, how funny would it have been if we was going to end season 2 after like 10 episodes and then start on season 3? That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? But, hey, we still on that grind. Look, I know y'all was probably looking for an episode last week. I ain't even going to hold you up. I had probably the most emotional roller coaster ride of a week that I have ever experienced in my life. And when I mean a super duper roller coaster of emotions, I mean a super duper roller coaster of emotions. First things first, look, I actually tried to record last week. Like, I really tried to record. But I just couldn't record, man. I had emotions all over the place. Like, when I mean all over the place, I mean all over the place. So, let me tell you guys exactly why you didn't get an episode last week and you get an episode this week and you're supposed to get the episode that's going to be next week, this week. And then this episode was supposed to be last week. It's all a bunch of, you know, craziness of craziness. But in all honesty, the reason I didn't record last week and the reason it wasn't an episode put out last week was because for those who may not know, I am a church going guy. I haven't been like I supposed to be going probably in like a year. I don't think I've really been going to church. I don't think I've been maybe only about a couple times this year. And that's just, you know, due to conflicting schedules and all the other stuff. I mean, that's not an excuse, but, you know, things happen to where, you know, you can't make certain commitments. But then it's like you can make commitments to other things. So it's like, you know, what's really important, you know. So, I mean, I guess that's something that I'm going to have to work on getting more involved with in 2019, making sure that I'm more active in my church going. But the reason why I didn't come to you guys with the episode was because unfortunately my pastor ended up passing away the morning that I was supposed to record. I was going to record later on that day because I had things I had to take care of. So the goal was to record Wednesday night, and that's what I was going to do. But I had got the call from my mom, who called me probably like 4:30, going on like 5 o'clock, and she told me the news that our pastor, a lady that my mom looks to as a second mom. My grandmother passed in 2006. So, you know, our pastor kind of took my mother, you know, into her wings. I was like her second mom, you know, ordained her as a minister and all that other good stuff. So, you know, she called me and told me the news. And, you know, it kind of hit me hard because I had just met her maybe like 3-4 years ago. And, you know, from the first time I ever met her, you know, it was just nothing but positive vibes. And, you know, she really made me feel comfortable. And, you know, every time I would see her, she always like, man, you so fine. You are so fine. And, you know, it just made me feel super comfortable. And, you know, it was just, you know, it was a lot to take in at that particular time. Because it's one of them things where, you know, we all know that death is inevitable. You know, they say that there are two things that are a given in life, and that is death and taxes. But it's still a situation where when it does come, you just don't know how to respond, and it's still kind of a shock. It's a shock to your system. You really don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Your emotions is all over the place. So that's kind of where I was. So when I tried to record Wednesday night, I got probably like 5 minutes into the recording, and then I just went on into rambling about my pastor. So, you know, I was just like, you know what, I can't, you know, consciously try to record anything this week, because my mind is just not where it needs to be, and I can't give you guys a episode, you know, to my liking and to my standards. And if I can't do that, then there's no reason, because, you know, I would never get on the mic and, you know, be sad or depressed or, you know, feel some type of way, or I don't want nobody to feel no type of way for me or nothing like that. So I would never let my personal issues take away from, you know, putting together episodes and, you know, just being able to, you know, shine a light to you guys, or, you know, give you guys a laugh if you need one, or whatever the case with it. Whatever you listen to this show for, whether it's basketball or you just want to laugh, or you just need something to kind of get you through the morning rush, or whatever the case may be, man. That's what I want to be. And I never want to bring my personal life or things that go on in my personal life into anything that I do, Gotham Coach related, exclusive breakdown related, or anything else that I got going on or will plan to have going on going forward. So that's the reason why I didn't record when I was supposed to, because like I told y'all, I was going to try to stay consistent with my recording. So I said every week, but, you know, that just kind of took away from, you know, me recording. I'm just like, bro, I'm not recording. I'm not feeling it. So that happened. And then early Sunday morning, probably at like 6:15, 6:30, I get a surprise call from my mom. And, you know, just, you know, I never get a call from her that early. 6 o'clock, I never get a call from her that early. So, you know, initially I'm shocked. I'm like, why are you calling me this early? You know, why aren't you asleep? This, that, and the third. And then she proceeded to tell me that one of my cousins had been involved in an accident. Not like a car accident, but just like a freak accident at home. And he was in, you know, critical condition in ICU. So it was just like, bro. Like, bro, this is too much going on. So, you know, Sunday, you know, even though I'm not, you know, I have a handful of family members, you know, my mom, on my mom's side, I'm the only child. So, you know, my cousins on my mom's side is like really my, you know, they're like my brothers and my sisters. So, you know, I have a real close bond with my cousins. And this ain't a particular cousin that I really had a bond with per se, but, you know, I always notice, oh, game always recognize game. And, you know, always, you know, Instagram or social media, any social media site is a great tool to, you know exactly what's going on with people that you may not met in your life, but y'all family. So, you know, Instagram was kind of been that too. So he kind of been doing this thing, you know, he's a father of 4 or 5 kids. So, you know, sole provider, and, you know, he's just out here doing his thing. So, you know, when you think of that, I mean, even though it's not somebody that I would say, like, it's like one of my immediate, oh, I grew up with them. At the end of the day, it's still family. So, you know, I have been dealing with that, and I went to the hospital Monday to see him. But I couldn't necessarily see him. I couldn't, you know, that's one thing I can never stomach. seeing people like in the hospital with like tubes and, you know, on breathing machines and all that other stuff. I can't see that, you know, my granny, you know, once I seen that, that was just like, I would never want to see that again. Ever, you know, not unless I actually have to. So, I went to the hospital, you know, I seen my uncle, he came from Vegas, you know, my cousin, he came from Vegas, you know, I seen them, you know, talk to them for a minute, and, you know, hopefully I'll be seeing them, next week, because, you know, we are in the holiday season, so, you know, Christmas is right around the corner. But, that has been my tumultuous week, so, I want to send my prayers. First of all, send a prayer out to my family. Send a prayer out to my cousin, you know, that side of the family. You know, send a prayer out to them. Send a prayer out to the, you know, my pastor's family. Right now, things is tough. And, you know, it's even tougher because we right around in the holiday season. You know, this is the season where, you know, we all get together with our families and, you know, just have the best time that we could possibly have and, you know, just enjoy each other's company and everything like that. And when you dealing with situations where, you know, your church family, you know, one of your leaders in your church family passes away or, you know, one of your cousins, you know, in your family, you know, he's fighting, you know, just to, you know, regain any kind of normalcy, you know, it's tough. So, in honor of my cousin and in honor of my pastor, I would like to have a moment of silence for those two particular people. One love all the way. Got 'em Coach exclusive breakdown family. We here. So, moment of silence, please. All right. Moment of silence over. Now we're going to get into this episode. Normally I come to y'all with story. Like I said, I came to y'all with my story. So, you know, I don't have to go into no extraness of, of no story. You know, we just going to get right into this episode, man. So let's do what we do, man. Y'all already know what time it is. Episode number 7. Of the show, where your boy is colorblind. And what I mean by that is, bro, for Christmas, I ordered what I thought was something black, and it ended up being charcoal. I don't know how I did it. Don't ask me how I did it. My eyes, look. I'm about to be 30 next year. A lot of things about to change. My bones about to start aching. I'm about to start going to bed super early. I'm about to start complaining. I'm about to have that old people's patience. You know that old people patience? Where they want to cuss everything and everybody out. I'm about to start having that. I'm getting a year closer to them SSI checks. Look, I'm going through it right now. I think I'm about to go through a midlife crisis. I think I'm about to get a mohawk in my head. I am literally about to go through it. I can feel it. I can feel it in my bones. I can feel it. But we're going to try to avoid it. But once we get into like February and March and like April, hey, look, you definitely going to start seeing some change. I might have to go with the blonde hair. I might have to go with the tall tees and the jabos with the Air Force Ones. Look, I need to do anything possible to make myself feel as if I'm still gonna be in my 20s when I know I'm not gonna be in my 20s. Moment of silence for my 20s, please. Thank you. And now two bells for my 20s. Thank you. Got 'em, Coach. Yes. And I am your host, Tyrone Smith, a.k.a. Wrong Too Exclusive, a.k.a. Mr. Hustle Bandit, a.k.a. Mr. Sneaker Bandit. Four Point Island, lock them up, wrong. Daytona 360, alive and in the, hold on, whoa. Spinning around the world, brush to my hair, oh, I'm spinning around the world. Daytona 360, alive and in the flesh. And y'all already know what I come to do. I come to give y'all that Dylan Dillinger hot fire. That H-E-A-T heat. Y'all already know how it go. So check this out, man. Hey, look. Sunday, this coming Sunday, is going to be a very monumental moment in my life. A very, very monumental moment in my life. And I'm going to tell you exactly why. Look, this Sunday will be the first time in over, in a long time. Let's just put it that way. The first time in a long time that, actually, I'll take that back. The first time ever that I will be experiencing a professional sports game with my dad. The first time in 29, going on 30 years that I'm going to be experiencing a game, an actual basketball game with Pops. And this is a huge moment. I actually got tickets to the Pistons-Atlanta Hawks game on the 23rd of December. And your boy will be down at the Little Caesars Arena, a.k.a. the Pizza Dome, a.k.a. Slice 'Em Up Arena, a.k.a. Pepperoni and Cheese, a.k.a. the Three Meat Treat, a.k.a. Pepperoni and Bacon with Extra Cheese and Banana Peppers, a.k.a. Italian Cheese Bread, a.k.a. Pepperoni Cheese Bread. I'm sorry. I got carried away. I started thinking about that food, and it made me happy on the inside. But your boy won't be eating there, because ain't no way I'm about to pay $12 for a hot and ready. Ain't no way. When I could go to the Little Caesars right across the street from the crib and get one for $5, and then I could add on extra toppings. I could add on like 3 or 4 extra toppings, and it still come out to like $10. You think I'm about to pay $12 for a regular hot and ready? And then they're going to probably charge me like $5 extra for butter and parm. So that's like a $17 pizza. And who going to want to eat a $17 pizza? Who going to want to eat a $17 pizza when the Pistons and the Hawks are playing? That's like buying Red Lobster and going to like a 50 Tyson concert. No disrespect to my man 50 Tyson. He's still the greatest rapper around, man. Shout out to my man 50 Tyson. Look, Ice JJ Fish. You need to get out your feelings, bro. You need to go collab with the boy 50 Tyson and make that heat. Hey, guaranteed 1 million views on YouTube. That's some bread in your pocket, man. Got to get the king of YouTube back on YouTube, bro. I ain't seen 50 Tyson in I don't know how long. Ever since that beef with Bow Wow, you know, he been kind of non-existent. And I don't like that. I have to go and watch these old videos where he was in the he was in the bathroom singing can he be the one to hold you down. I don't like it. I'm not feeling it. So y'all need to get it together. 50 Ice, look, Eli Porter, Blueface. Dog, where did Blueface come from, bro?
Where did Blueface come from? If Blueface can get a cosign from Drake with the lyrics he spit and being off rhythm, I ain't gonna lie. And this ain't no disrespect to none of my Detroit rappers, you know, because shout out to the hometown Detroit, Michigan. This ain't no disrespect to none of the boys from Detroit, but look, Blueface legit sounds like a Detroit rapper. he legit sounds like a Detroit rapper, bro. Like, if he can make it, dog, if you from the D and you listening to this, bro, look, get you a cold beat and just say random stuff over the cold beat. Be as off rhythm as you possibly can, and you gonna be lit. You gonna get a cosign from Drake, Pusha T, Kanye West, Mike Bibby, Snoop Dogg, Benny Siegel, Memph Bleek. You know what I'm saying? Freeway, you know. They Freeway still rap. You know, you can sign with Lost Me Family. Shout out to the homie Cassidy. You know what I'm saying? You can sign the Crossover Entertainment. I don't know if that's still a thing, but you know, you could look. Shout out to Blueface, man. Is that his name? Is it Blueface? I think it's Blueface. That man out there, he got people calling him the worst rapper, but he out there making moves. He got so many people co-signing for him right now. It's ridiculous. So, shout out to that man. So, what was I talking about? Oh, the game. Yeah, so me and Pop's going to the Pistons-Hawks game. I think it's going to be super fun. I expect the Pistons to win by at least 20. And I'm going to stay for the whole game. In the meantime, between time, though, your boy went to the Pistons-Pelicans game that was on December the 9th. First time I actually been to a weekend game. I've never been to a weekend game before. All the games that I've ever been to has been on the weekday. And let me tell you, man, a weekend game is way litter than a weekday game. And it was crazy because I went to the Pistons-Rockets game on Black Friday, and the only reason that game was like hype was because like it got close towards the end of the game, and Blake Griffin hit that crazy three, and then Eric Gordon hit that clutch layup, and then Reggie Jackson took over. But the Pistons-Pelicans game, man, that game was just, I've never heard so many hecklers in my, matter of fact, before I even get into it, man, let me just tell y'all five things that I experienced at this game, man. So let's get into it, man. Y'all already know what time it is.
It's not all recording and editing shows.
Sometimes Daytona likes to be a spectator at games.
Here's five things he experienced at a live game.
All right, so the first thing I experienced, man, look, y'all already know who I am, man. I'm Four Point Island Lock 'em Up Wrong. But sitting in the front row of a professional NBA game and actually seeing players up close and personal and all that other stuff, bro, ain't no way. Ain't no way. Ain't no way I'm gonna be able to do anything with a professional professional basketball player, especially at this time of my life where I haven't hooped legitimately in probably like a couple months. And even that time I did hoop, oh man, it was bad, man. I was running up and down the court, I was running out of breath, my lungs was hurting. I mean, I was really going through it, man. But dog, man, I was front row, bro. I don't think I could have did it, man. So that gave me so much respect for the little dudes that play in the NBA, like Iverson and Muggsy Bowles and Earl Boykins, even the dudes that was out there playing, like Frazier, the point guard from New Orleans. You know, he's not a real big guy. You know, he's kind of like a smaller guy, like a AI type of guy. And you know, he was out there playing. Man, it gave me so much respect for maybe mainly Iverson, because he was out there. Killing dudes, like giving them the business. And he was only what, like 160 pounds. You could probably debate that. You probably can debate the fact that he was 6 foot tall. But he was out there giving dudes the business. So, man, shout out to the little dudes who was out there, you know, playing in the league and doing all that other stuff. But that was a different time. I mean, we talking 2018. So, you know, everything get bigger and stronger and faster and all that other good stuff. So, man, I was out there. Man, that dude, Blake Griffin, bro. Bro, like, Blake Griffin is built like a tank. Blake Griffin is built like a freaking tank. Like, his calves are equivalent to probably like both of my arms. Like, and then you probably have to take another one of my arms. So I would have to have like three arms to be equivalent to Blake Griffin's calf muscle. Like, dog, that junk is crazy. Actually, if you take my belly fat and put it on my arm, then you'll have the equivalent of Blake Griffin's calves. That's tough. But that was one thing that I had noticed, man. We talked a little bit about the crowd, man. The crowd was so hype. It was so lit. I never seen so many people heckle so many other people. Man, they just had so much energy. Way more energy than they did Friday. I think because they expected for the Pistons to beat the Pelicans, and they didn't really expect for them to beat the Rockets. So it was like, all right, we not gonna heckle James Harden because he might go crazy and score 60. We not gonna really heckle Chris Paul because he might have like a 20 point, 20 assist triple double. So we gonna save our energy, you know, just cheer and boo and do all that other. So we ain't gonna heckle. But this Pelicans game, bruh, dog, they was getting on everybody. You know, I heard some Jrue Holidays. Anthony Davis really didn't play. I think he played like maybe like 5, 6, 7 minutes in the first quarter. And he was out until like maybe like the 9-minute mark of like the third quarter. And he came back and, you know, he wasn't like putting up buckets, but he still had a pretty decent all-around game. You know, he was still scoring. He had a couple, like, I think he had like 8, 9 points or something like that. Matter of fact, you know, I don't want to be too politically incorrect with this episode, so I'm gonna double check the stat line for Anthony Davis, because last time I seen, I think he had like 5 blocks or something like that particular game, and he only played like 25 minutes. So I just want to double check and make sure that the numbers add up to what I thought they was. Oh yeah, so he had 6 points, he had 9 rebounds, 4 assists, and he had 5 blocks, and he played 25 minutes. So, man, Jrue Holiday head, but the main person they was on was Julius Randle. I mean, this dude in the row ahead of me was giving Julius Randle the business, bro. Like, he was heckling Julius Randle so bad. Like, he was telling Julius Randle that the Lakers sucked and they did a great job by not picking him up. And, you know, he was telling them that, you know, he was telling everybody that Julius Randle eats booty. He said that Julius Randle had got his shoes from Payless. Hey, his them Nikes that he had on was dope, so I don't know what he was talking about. Like, he was heckling Julius Randle all game, bro. All game. And then Julius Randle proceeds to score 28 points. Like, Julius Randle is out there killing the Pistons. And I just wanted to say so bad, like, bro, shut up. Like, yeah, heckling is just motivating this guy to get more buckets. Like, leave this man alone. He had 28 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists, bro. So, look, word to the Pistons fans. Look, when we go to that game Sunday, me and Pops go to that game Sunday, do not heckle Trae Young. Please do not heckle Trae Young. Actually, heckle Trae Young. Cause I'm trying to see a 50 ball. I'm trying to see somebody go for 50 points. And I think Trae Young, he don't get 50 points, but he probably gonna take like 55 shots to get there. So I'm not gonna be mad. Heckle that man, Trae Young, so he can score 50 points. Next up, another thing I had noticed was Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday might be the most, probably might be the second most underrated guard in the league. And I think that goes to Mike Conley. But Jrue Holiday, bro, like, he was killing Reggie Jackson. Oh, Lord. He was killing Reggie. He was killing Jose. He was whoever the Pistons put on Drew. He was giving them buckets. Like, he was giving them buckets. I mean, he had 37 points. He shot 14 for 22. And that's all you need to know. I mean, whenever the Pistons had momentum, like, because, you know, New Orleans was up for, like, most of the game. So, like, you know, they had to really come back. And shout out to Langston Galloway, because Langston Galloway was the reason that the Pistons stayed in the game. I mean, he came off the bench and scored like 20 plus points. If they didn't have that, then the Pistons definitely would have been blew out. But every time the Pistons would get momentum, Jrue Holiday would shut it down. So, man, Jrue Holiday was out there getting buckets, man. So shout out to Drew. And last but not least, let's talk about Reggie. Hey, they need to trade. They either need to trade Reggie Jackson, or they need to sit him down, because Reggie Jackson is just playing so, like, he don't want to be there no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just playing so uninspired, unmotivated, like he don't care no more. Like, and that's exactly what I was seeing from him. Like, Jose Calderon was playing like a lot of minutes, like Jose Calderon, but he was getting the Pistons into their offense. Like, the ball was moving crisply and effectively when he was running the show for the Pistons. And Reggie Jackson lately, he hasn't really been himself. Like, he's just been super inconsistent, man. Last game he had, you know what I'm saying, he had 11 points against Milwaukee in that loss that they took. 12 points against the Celtics, and then 18 points against the Hornets. But it just seemed like he don't want to be there. Like, he's shooting 39%, 33% from 3-point range. I mean, it's just, I don't know what it is, but somebody need to light a fire back under Reggie. Because it seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed like he's not, you know, it seemed like the confidence isn't there right now. He's just kind of playing without confidence. And, you know, I think the one thing that you need when you hooping is you need confidence. You see what's going on with Markelle Fultz right now. He ain't got the confidence. And it's looking bad. You know what I'm saying? It's looking bad for that boy Markelle Fultz. So those are five things that I experienced from the Pistons-Hawks game. The Pistons Hawks game. I ain't even been in that game yet. I mean, the Pistons Hornets game. The Pistons Hornets, bro. The Pistons Pelicans game. Dog, what am I going through right now? Hey, look. Let's go ahead. Let's end this segment, man. Let's end this segment. Let's go into Logically Correct, because I said so.
There's the right way, the wrong way, and Daytona's way.
Which could be a combination of the right way and the wrong way to you, but in his eyes, it's always the right way.
Here's this week's Logically Correct, because he says so.
All right, so Logically Correct, because I said so. So I want to do two different things, but I'm going to try to keep them short. First things first, I want to talk about Luka, my new favorite player in the NBA, Luka Doncic. Move over Joel Ingles. You are not my favorite player no more. Luka Doncic. This man has rejuvenized the Dallas Mavericks into a playoff contender, even though they are currently ninth in the Western Conference, sitting at 15-14. But Luka, that man out there averaging 18.6 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. The game against Denver, he had 23 points, 12 assists, and 6 rebounds. So let me tell you something. Let me give y'all something that y'all may not agree with, but this is my show, so I'm gonna say what I feel. So check this out. Luka Doncic will be a MVP in the next 3 to 4 years. Why do I say that? Look at how he's rejuvenizing the Dallas Mavericks. When you looked at Dallas at first, you thought that it was going to be at least a couple years. But this guy has rejuvenized this team. Well, all they need, look, they got it. Look, Harrison Barnes, nice little complimentary piece. Dennis Smith Jr., nice complimentary piece, man. If they can keep Drake, I'm telling you, man, Dallas can make some noise. And when you look at it, if Dallas can make a run, you gotta look at Luka. Luka gonna be that guy. So that's gonna be my bold prediction out of this segment. Luka Doncic will be an MVP in the next 3 to 4 years, and that's just facts. And I mean, look, I know y'all may not agree with me, man. Y'all may say, well, oh, he has the experience. He played overseas, this, that, and the third. So, you know, he's already played professionally. But look, Brandon Jennings played overseas, and you see where his career is. And Emmanuel Mudiay played overseas, and, you know, he gives you glimpses of hope. But more often than not, he's fighting with Trey Burke and Frank Ntilikina for playing time over in New York. So just because you played overseas and played, you know, professional ball don't mean that you're going to translate into a very successful NBA player. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I just look at Luka, man. He's so smooth and, you know, he gets the job done, man. And I think he's going to be the Dirk Nowitzki. He's going to have that Dirk Nowitzki impact on Dallas, like what Dirk did when he was in his heyday, you know, getting buckets and doing all this other stuff to, you know, where he was an MVP. So, Luka, man, I see you, man. Don't make me look bad, bro. You got to win an MVP, man. You got to go crazy these next couple years, man. All right. Let's get into the next logically correct because I said so, man. We're going to talk about Melo. So, look, Melo's still on the Rockets. I don't think they've released him yet. It's a lot of people saying that Melo's career is possibly going to be over with. So, in the event when the Denver Nuggets, when the Houston Rockets finally to decide to let Carmelo Anthony walk, bro, we're going to do a 5-team possibility list where he can go and start. Now, start, that's a big word. Start. I'm not saying where he's going to be the best fit, because the best fit will probably be with a playoff team like a Philly or LA or, you know, somebody who's in the playoff contention, who's in the playoff race. I'm saying the five places where he can go and start, where he can go and be a starter, because I think that's what he wants to be. I think he wants to be a starter. So we're going to do 5 teams where he can go start. So first off, let's start off with the Memphis Grizzlies. I think he can go to Memphis and be a starter. Now, he doesn't really fit what Memphis does in terms of defense because he doesn't play any. But then again, in this day and age of the NBA, bro, who really plays defense? Like, it just doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Like, nobody plays defense. So, look, this is why I say Memphis, because when you really look at Memphis, man, Memphis doesn't really have that third scorer. You know what I'm saying? Like, Conley gets buckets. Gasol gets buckets. But who else really gets buckets for them? Like, they got Kyle Anderson starting at the three. And I don't think Kyle Anderson is your best best logical option as a third scorer going forward. Dylan Brooks is still trying to work his way, trying to find his game. So I don't think that's going to be another score option. Jamichael Green isn't really a third option. And I think Melo could be that third option for Memphis, man. He could get the pressure off of Conley to not have to score too much. He could get the pressure off of Gasol. And that could be a good thing for Melo. A guy who can pass the ball. Who could get him in certain spots where he don't have to necessarily do all the work and all the ISO and all that other stuff, and he could be good. So I look at Memphis, and I think that could work, man. The defense, that's just the only thing. But I think when you get in situations where you have to adjust, I think it could work for him, because when you really look at it, I mean, like in New York, you know, Mike D'Antoni was the coach, and he ain't really, you know, playing no defense. Mike Woodson didn't really hold him accountable for anything, so, you know, he kind of got away with that. But I think Melo understands that. I think Melo now knows that he just can't do what he want to do now. You know, he gotta man up and, you know, just be a guy that's gonna be willing to be able to you know, listen and, you know, just be able to be a, you know, be a contributing factor. You know, he's not the star of the team. He's not going to be the star of the team anymore. He's going to have to be that third, fourth, maybe fifth option. You know what I'm saying? So if he can get that together and, you know, just kind of sacrifice himself and, you know, be more committed to certain things. I mean, Memphis and Melo, I think that could be a good thing. So next up, we're going to talk about Charlotte. I think Charlotte needs another guy too, but I look at Charlotte, man. It looked like Jeremy Lamb is starting to come into his own as a second scorer. So if that's going to be the case, you still need a third scorer. You need another guy who could get buckets, man. I think Melo could go there, and I think he can get him buckets. Nick Batum is not a starter anymore. Sit that guy on the bench. He's not a starter anymore. Get him out of the starting lineup. The connections are there. You know, Melo was with Jordan Brand. Charlotte needs a small forward, or, you know, a stretch forward, however you want to do it. And I think he can go in there, and I think he can start. I think he can get him, you know, hefty minutes. He can take up some pressure off of Kemba. If need be, he could be that second scorer until Jeremy Lamb kind of gets into more of a consistent groove and can, you know, prove that he's that second scorer. So I think it could work. I think a Carmelo Charlotte Hornets marriage could work. Next up on my list, I'm gonna talk about the Miami Heat. Now Miami, I'm not so sure, because when you look at Miami, they got about 6-7 guys who average about 10 points. So they really do it by committee over in Miami. And then you got to think Deion Waiters. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think Deion has played a game yet. I gotta go double check the fact finder first, you know, before, you know, I go make certain statements like that. But if I'm not mistaken, I don't think Deion Waiters has played a game as of yet. But I may be wrong, but we're about to double check and see if he has. No, Deion Waiters hasn't played a game yet. So you gotta think about that avenue. So that's going to be another guy who's probably going to get some shots. So they kind of do it by committee. So I don't think that'd be a necessarily great fit for Melo, but I had to come up with five teams where he can go start. What would bring Melo to Miami? Well, of course, it's Miami. Everybody wants to go to Miami. And then the relationship we had with Dwayne Wade. So those are two things. But like I said, you know, I think it's really with Melo, it's just gonna have to come down to him having to humble himself and, you know, realize that, you know, he's not that guy that he once was. So next up on my list, I got the San Antonio Spurs. Now San Antonio, kind of like Memphis in a way, you know, they got a guy in DeRozan who can get buckets. They got a guy in LaMarcus Aldridge who can get buckets. Rudy Gay can get buckets, but his buckets is inconsistent for a period of time where he'll give you 35, 25, and maybe 22. He'll go through a stretch where he scores 10, 9, 7, 4, 12, and 14. So inconsistent as a third scorer is Rudy Gay. I think he'd be better off being a sixth man for the Spurs. And I think Melo could come in and he could be that third option for San Antonio. And like I said, Greg Popovich is one of the best in getting guys to, you know, maximize what they have and being able to take advantage of what they have and being very, very effective and, you know, in his style of play. Now, it's not going to help the fact that San Antonio needs a point guard, because they still need a point guard. But I mean, you know, you do the point guard by committee and, you know, you just get guys, you know, the point guard ain't really got to get the buckets, you know, because you'll have DeRozan, Melo, and LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, being able to, you know, get a majority of the shots. So I think San Antonio and Melo can work out well just on the strength of Greg Popovich alone. You know, I think it'll be intriguing to see what he'll be able to do to get Melo into the best position to, you know, be effective. Last but not least is my hometown Detroit Pistons. And here's why I say Detroit. Glenn Robinson is not going to cut it as your starting small forward. And Stanley Johnson has proved that he isn't an effective starter. He's way better coming off the bench and playing in crunch time in the fourth quarter. But starting, that not him. So with that being said,
I think Melo could come in and be an effective small forward, starting small forward for the Pistons. Now, here's where the problem comes. I talked about Reggie Jackson earlier in the show, and y'all know Reggie Hero, fourth quarter basketball Jackson, is going to be that guy where he's going to want to take over in the fourth quarter and try to will the Pistons into a win. And he's not going to care if he's taking shots from a hot person to, you know, who has the hot hand. He's going to want to have to do his own thing, and he's going to want to be the guy, which is going to cause a lot of friction because Melo thinks he's that guy and Blake Griffin thinks he's that guy. So you got three alpha males who want to be fourth quarter hero on one team. I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, look, Melo in a Pistons uniform 15 years ago would have been the dream scenario, but you really can't blame Joe Dumars for the selection that he took, because he had a small forward in Tayshaun Prince. And, you know, Rasheed and Ben, you know, that Ben was getting a little older. Rasheed was getting a little older. So, you know, Darko was a guy who could have came in. They could have tutelized. I don't think that's a word, but it's a word today. Word of the day is tutelized. But he could have came in with the right teaching and the right coaching. He could have been, you know, he could have continued that big man trend in Detroit, but it just didn't work out that way. Sometimes you can't predict how certain drafts and all that is going to work out. They work out the way that they work out. So that's my five teams for Melo, man. If you got a team that he think he can be a starter on, not the fit, a starter, let me know. Now, let's go into a supersized edition, because we didn't do Heat of the Week last week, of Heat of the Week. And we're going to do that now.
Add some fire to your sneaker collection. This is the Heat of the Week.
All right, so Heat of the Week. We're going to cover the ones that we missed out on last week. And we got some heat. If you got your Air Jordan Concord, shout out to you. I'm kind of disappointed in the Concords. They're not as hot fire as I expected them to be. I probably would have been better off just getting like the original ones with the 23 on it. I can't deal with the 45. I just can't deal with that. Like with the Baron Eyes, I could deal with it, but with like Concords or the Space Jams, iconic shoes that don't have 45 on it, I just can't rock with those. So we're gonna go into the Heat of the Week. And like I said, we're gonna do it last week because I didn't do an episode last week. So we're gonna do last week's Heat of the Week, and then we're gonna go do this week's Heat of the Week. So look, if these shoes are still in your local stores, go ahead and check them out. We're gonna first start off with the Nike LeBron 16 I'm Kings, which came out on December 15th. This shoe combines a stark black with an eye-catching touch of metallic gold. It boosts a durable yet flexible battle knit upper, a debossed I'm King hit on his heel pieces, and a tonal lion head stamped on both the left and right throat. Other things on the shoe include the likes of a golden crown on the insoles, a purple outsole Dunk Man, and a matching heel piece right above the air unit. Shout out to Bron. Let's go to the Air Yeezys. The Adidas 3 Yeezy 350 Boost Semi-Frozen Yellows. These dropped on the 14th. This shoe features a bright and bold yellow base that's artfully intercepted with wavy gray lines and a pop of red branding. It gives off a look that is unmistakably Kanye West. Shout out to Kanye. Loud and impossible to ignore. It is also the first Yeezy 350 to feature a gum sole, an old school detail that provides a stark and interesting contrast with the loud upper. Now look, personally, I don't mess with Yeezys. Ain't not my thing. I'm going to get one pair of Yeezys just to do it for the culture, but I don't mess with Yeezys. So now we're going to get into the Doran Becker shoes that dropped. These shoes were actually designed by kids who actually have like different types of issues or illnesses or whatever. So Nike teamed up with the hospital, I believe, out in Portland, where they got with, you know, certain little kids, and they were able to actually help them design a shoe, which is actually dope. So we're going to focus on the Nike Zoom Fly SPs. This shoe was designed by Peyton Fentress. He was diagnosed with Crohn's disease and colitis in 2010. He has a loving, he has an electric personality, which is shown in the shoe by having a Chicago Cub inspired shoe with a Portland Trailblazer accent with the championship date and all of his America's favorite pastimes. So shout out to Peyton. I can't read it all. I don't know who wrote this part, but you know, the shoe is actually dope, so y'all might want to check that out. So shout out to Peyton Fentress for being able to actually, you know, create his own shoe. I think that's super dope. Next up, we got the Nike SB Dunk Pros. This was created by Joey Bates, who has a Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is a degenerative disease that makes his body weaker, but what makes him happy is what inspired this unique iteration of this shoe. This shoe takes on a green, yellow, and metallic gold color scheme as a nod to his favorite athlete, Clay Matthews of the Green Bay Packers. The model also features Matthews' number, his desire to be a fighter pilot, and his love of chicken. Hey, I rocks with you, Joey. I rocks with you. I like chicken too. The American flag is also seen on the tongues, along with Joey Bates' name embroidered on the heel tabs, while an icy translucent outsole tops it off. His love of chicken, that's what's up. Then we got the Nike Air Max 270 Dornbeckers by Alden Barber. This shoe is luxe and is finishing alongside hits of materialistic aesthetics. The silhouette bears a classic camouflage upper with an iconically large air bubble brushed in a gold gradient. Many subtle details call back to Barber's experience and the family that has supported him, bearing AB along the toe of the heel, which are both hits, and his elder sister's initials, while also featuring his inspiring motto, "Always Believe." Printed along the insoles is a fitting graphic that embodies Barber's brain and the titanium plate that now resides in it, marking the long journey that began from the young boy's diagnosis back in 2015. Now, I didn't write down the diagnosis. I forgot to do that. New move by Tyrone. Shame on you. Shame on you. But that's dope, man. That's dope. That's super dope. I'm glad that Nike does this. And then all of the proceeds goes back to that hospital, I believe I read, which is super dope. So shout out to Nike. All right, next up, we got the Air Jordan 12 Winterized. This shoe dropped on the 15th of December, and this shoe features a weathered textile upper in black with anthracite with matching details and branding on the usual areas like the mini side panel and the matted metallic upper eyelets. Now, I actually seen these shoes in person. They alright. Let's go to the next one. Next up, we got the Nike LeBron 3s, which is dropping on December the 20th, which is actually tomorrow. Originally released in 2006, this LeBron 3 features a black nubuck upper, leather strap overlays, and is accented by various gold hits throughout. Details like a shiny black swoosh outlined in gold on the lateral heel, LeBron's original LJ23 logo on the medial side, a red swoosh on the outsole, and lion's head logo on the tongue complete the premium colorway. Now, my favorite LeBrons personally is the first LeBrons, but LeBron the LeBron 3s are actually kind of dope too. I think after 5, that's when the shoe kind of takes more so of like a basketball shoe, even though the South Beach joints. I can't remember which LeBron's those was. I think those was the eights. No, those couldn't have been the eights, right? When did he go to Miami? Whenever he went to Miami, I think that's when they dropped them South Beach joints. But them joints is fire. Super fire. Like, so much fire that I was actually going to buy those shoes, like, fake. I was legit going to buy those shoes, like a replica shoe from, like, a Chinese website. But I didn't do it, and I'm glad I didn't do it. I'm glad I got that aspect out of my life out the way. Next up, we're going to focus on the Pharrell Williams X Adidas Crazy BYW LVLX, which drops on the 22nd. This collaborative model features a black mesh and a textile upper with multicolored trim accents in yellow, blue, and red. The silhouette boasts a rib knit sock-like ankle collar, Y-set rope lacing system, and bold gratitude and empathy lettering in white along the VEP area. The sculptural build is rounded out by a popular sole unit with multicolored gum outsoles and a black boost heel unit. These shoes is fire. And I don't really rock with Adidas, but these shoes are fire, fire, like super fire. Off-white Nike X. Off-white X Nike Air Force Ones, black and white, and Volt. Those shoes will be coming out. I'm not going into the details. If y'all know what off-white shoes are, you know, you probably should know what the black and white ones and the Volt ones are going to look like. And then we're going to focus last on the Concept X Nike Kyrie Iket. This Nike Kyrie 5 is inspired by Kyrie's Hamza hand tattoo. It's sandy beige upper nods to the age of ancient Egypt and pyramids, while having a chiseled gray swoosh, red tongue to represent the nose of the Sphinx before it decayed, atop a purple sole that represents the sunset against pyramids. Dual branding on the tongue shroud, along with Egyptian hieroglyphics on each heel, completes the design. And that is your supersized heat of the week. Enjoy it, because there will not be, or actually it is a heat of the week next week. I'm sorry. It won't be a heat of the week the episode after, because that is my end of the year episode, where I don't have to focus on any particular stories. I can get on the mic and just talk about whatever the heck I want to talk about. I think last year, I was watching the playoffs. No, I was watching like the last week of the season. And it was lit because the Bengals eliminated the Ravens from playoff contention. It was like, wow, that's amazing. But hey, looks, episode 7 is complete, man. I thank y'all for rocking out with me. Like I said earlier, keep my family in your prayers. Keep my cousin's mom's side of the family in your prayers. Keep my pastor's family in your prayers. Keep my mother in your prayers. Man, look, don't let a day go by where you hold grudges with somebody over something that happened 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, or something that just happened yesterday, man. Life is too short, and you never want to be in a situation where somebody, or you come into a situation where you pass on and a person may not never know how you really felt about them, how much you really appreciated them, and how much you love them. So look, if you got to end a grudge, bro, in that grudge, man, it's not worth it. It's definitely not. It's not worth it, man. Forgive and forget and move on, because, man, look, life is too short, man. You could be at the pinnacle of happiness one day, enjoying your best life, and then the next day, I mean, you could be sitting in a coma and wondering what's next for you. So, you know, keep that in mind, man, as you go on with everything that you're going with. So I'm out, man. I appreciate y'all rocking out with me, man. Hey, go subscribe to the YouTube channel. I'm about to start putting up videos. I'm about to start doing reviews. I'm gonna do, for the first couple videos, I'm gonna do some story time. So, you know, it's gonna be lit. I already got the ones that I want to do. I want to do at least 5. So, you know, I gotta start getting on the ball and making that happen. And we're gonna rock out, man. We're gonna rock out. And then the first of the year, I'm gonna do my first review. I already know who I'm gonna do my first review on, so I think that's gonna be fun. And yeah, that's about it, man. But Hey, I'm Tyrone Smith, Wrong 2 exclusive, Hustle Bandit, Sneaker Bandit, 4-Point Island, Lock 'em Up Wrong, Daytona 360 signing off, and I will holler at y'all next week. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Your support just helped the show get closer to that bag. For more info on the show, hit up Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Exclusive Breakdown. Talk to you next week.